to ask you the question this evening before we read our scripture verses. If we were to choose the ten most important Bible truths, what would we put on the list? And I want you to answer that for me. So give me one and I'll write it at the top. Who would give us the first one of the Bible truths we need to put at the top of the list? All right. Thank you, Clem. Let's have a second one. Justification. Tell me another one. All right, the return of Christ, and we anticipate that eagerly. All right, and James, did you have a hand up?
God is the creator.
Amen. I was hoping someone would get Genesis 1 and 2 in there, and thought you would. Let me have somebody from over here who will tell us. Good to see you, Lucy's. We are encouraged and encouraging. Lauren. The Trinity, very good. A blessing, okay. Who can give me another? Oh, Abby. All right, can we say the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Or should we write down the gospel? What should we write down? I'm going to write it just the way you said it, all right. Now we need another one. That's only five. We've got five to go. Can you think of the one that I'm really keen about? All right, the Holy Spirit's indwelling, living within us, the Holy Spirit's indwelling. Another one, Josh, as you've got your thinking cap on tonight, you can borrow Tamara's. Repentance is very vital. We talked about that this morning, the importance of repentance. Well, let's give someone else a chance that hasn't answered yet. Okay, who can give us another? Brother Floyd. Wow, now what do we say? How do we describe that in a word or two?
Inspiration.
All right, inspiration. I'm glad you included that. Yes, Callum. All right, what are we going to call that? We're going to call it the fall and the sinfulness of man. Is that close enough? Someone else that hasn't given us. We got one more to go.
Sanctification.
Thank you, Mrs. Smith. Now, you've touched on some very, very important things there. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to chapter 3 in Proverbs. And we're going to read verses here. And then in just a few minutes, we're going to go to Hebrews and read the scripture verses there that are related to these. In Proverbs chapter 3, will you follow with me as I read aloud verses 11 and 12? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. One of the truths that needs to be high on our list of treasured truths in the scripture is the truth of chastening, what the Bible says about chastening. Now, you might make a list 50 great truths long and never think of that one, but this one is essential. And that's what the scripture says there. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. This is what I want to speak to you about. God chastens every child of his. Now that may be an unfamiliar word. The word chasten may be an unfamiliar word. But this text gives us a wise exhortation. Don't think lightly of the chastening of the Lord. And don't be tired of it. Don't be weary of it. Because the Lord corrects all of those that are his children, and he loves us in chastening us. So now turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, you probably were there before I told you the text, because in Hebrews we have a clarification of these verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Hebrews gives us an amplification, an explanation of the verses in Proverbs chapter 3. And we notice it here, if you'll read with me from Proverbs chapter 3, and we're reading from sorry, I said Proverbs chapter 3 where we were, but now we're in Hebrews. Someone wake the pastor up. Hebrews chapter 12. Did I say Hebrews chapter 3? Well, if I have confused you, please forgive me. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation. And here's the quote from Proverbs chapter 3. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This text gives us six truths in this passage of Scripture. The first you notice there is in verse number 5, where the Lord addresses us as his children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. The Lord speaks to us as his own children. And then the second thing we notice is that this word that we see as chastening here actually appears in three forms. It appears as the word chastening, and that's what we see six times in this passage of Scripture. But it also appears as the word chastisement, and you see that in verse 8. It's the same word, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. But it also appears as the word correcting, or corrected us. And that's what we find here in verse 9. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. So are you beginning to get a picture of what chastening is? Chastening has to do with God training us, correcting us, teaching us the right way to live for him. Now, every child of God is chastened. That's what our text is telling us. Every child of God. Come back with me here to verse number 6 in chapter 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you are saved, God is going to correct you. If you are saved, God is going to train you. If you belong to the Lord, he is going to discipline you. That's part of being one of the children of God. It's an evidence of salvation. When people come to me and they say, well, not really, I'm sure. I say to them, does the Lord ever correct you? Does the Lord ever chasten you? Does he ever take the rod and use the rod on you? That's what the word scourge means. Does the Lord ever chasten you? Does he ever correct you? When you do something foolish, do you get in trouble with God? Well, if you don't, then you'll need to look at your salvation. But if you're saved, you will find that God chastens every son whom he receives. He makes it so clear in Scripture. And we see three stages in this chastening. I suppose there are three. Some would say that chastening has two ways that God does it. But I'm going to suggest to you that this word chasten has to do with correcting. It has to do with refining. It has to do God being an influence in our lives to guide us away from foolishness and immaturity into maturity. And so I think about that as being a continual pressure from the Holy Spirit to grow up. Grow up, Buddy Smith. You're 76 years old. It's about time you got started. Grow up. And I like what Rex Holmes said one time. Lauren's grandpa Holmes said, some people grow old without growing up. And that's very true. But The Lord is continually working in our lives to bring us to maturity. So I use that word chastening along that line. But we see also here in the scripture that the Lord uses the word rebuke, and that's in verse 5. The Lord says, "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord," this continual influence to mature and grow and be strong in the Lord, "nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Now, this word rebuked is a really strong word. It's the word elenko that means to convince us of our faults on the basis of evidence. It's like the Holy Spirit says to us, "Did you just see what you did? Now don't lie. You did it. And don't pretend. And don't blame somebody else for it. It was your own choice. And here's the proof that you did what I am accusing you of." That word elenko is the prosecuting attorney in the courtroom. And it's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that word reprove is this very same word. So there is initially this influence of the Lord to be working in our lives to mature us and help us to grow and to move out of the infant stage up into the paideia stage. That's the word for chastening. It's also the word for a child who can receive instructions. I'm watching Patty, and Patty got an early start on learning how to receive instructions, and he's getting a little bit more every week. I notice that when his daddy says to him, "Don't go outside," that sometimes he obeys. He's learning to obey. And it is a process that goes on. But if we resist, if we say to the Lord, "I have my rights. I want to do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are?" Well, then the Lord is capable of rebuking us and speaking very strongly and sharply to us. That's what rebuke is. My dad was not a big man. He was a good man and a wise man. And my dad could speak very softly to me and cut me to ribbons. In fact, I'd almost rather have a whack from a big stick than for him to give me a lecture. Did any of you ever feel that way? Did your dad ever leave you feeling that way? Joanna's nodding very enthusiastically over here. But my dad could talk to me. I remember one night I went over to a friend's house, Gary Brewster, and I stayed too long. I wasn't watching the clock. Does that ever happen with teenagers? And I was over at Gary's house, and we heard a car pull up in the street. And the next thing I know, there's a step on at the front of the door, and my dad leans up against the door and says, "Buddy, come home." "Yes, sir." And I didn't waste any time. I didn't say, "I'll be there after a while." Dad just said, "Come home." And that was a rebuke. I had stayed out too late. And so the Lord does that to us, and he does it through his word. Has the Lord rebuked you through his word? But then we read further here in verse number 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And that word scourge is the word for the rod. The Lord knows how to take the rod and to cause pain to correct us. Biblically, the concept of using corporal punishment wisely, clearly, with right instruction, the way that the Lord teaches us to do this, that is biblical and it is right. When our children are very small, it shouldn't take more than a light tap with a wooden spoon. My mother broke a hairbrush on my sister one time, but I think hairbrushes were not all that strong in those days. A light tap with a wooden spoon should do the job. But it's sad that as children grow, oftentimes their wills become entrenched in stubbornness and pride and choosing to do the wrong thing. And so it takes a little bit more of a tap. And then there comes a day when a tap with a wooden spoon will not do the job. I've told you about my grade 5 teacher, Mr. Boyd, that had taken a softball bat. And they're about that big on the end. And he'd shaved it down side to side until it was only about that thick. But oh boy, it looked like it was that wide. And my friend and I one day said, "Those two girls are chewing gum in class." And we went and told the teacher, and he said, "Right, boys, bend over. If there's anything worse than chewing gum, dobbing girls in is worse." And he gave us He gave us a tune-up. The Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. Very helpful. And he gave us a tune-up with that. And I remember how terrified I was of this. But there comes a day when the softball bat shaved down won't work anymore. And so parents pray. God knows how to bring to bear on us a rod that's not made out of wood. And sometimes it's emotional, and sometimes it's financial, and sometimes it's medical. And the Lord knows just how to do that. Parents, are you wise enough that when your child is more than 6 feet tall, you still know how to use the rod wisely? Do you know how to take their car keys off them and lock them up? Do you know how to do that? My dad did that to me. He didn't have to do it much. That got through to me very quickly. Do you know how to take a cell phone, a mobile phone off your kids? Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to take the SIM card out and the battery out and hide it in separate places and all the rest? Do you know how to do that? Well, my dad didn't. We didn't have mobile phones in those days. It was back in the dark ages. We were still using smoke signals in those days. And so dad never had to do that to me. But oh, I'll tell you what, being restricted to home, being not allowed in the workshop to make model planes, that was severe. And dad knew how to apply the rod where it got through to me. The Lord knows how to use the rod on us. God chastens us. And so those are the three things: the chastening, the confronting, the rebuking, and also the rod to cause pain to correct us. But then I need to tell you the fifth thing in regard to this passage of Scripture is that when the Lord does this, when he chastens us, when he purifies us, when he works to correct us, he is doing this to make us holy like himself. Consider verse 10 in chapter 12. Here we read in chapter 12, verse 10, "For they verily, our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So what the Lord is doing is he is chastening us to make us like himself. He's chastening us to make us holy and pure, to make us separate from sin, to make us consecrated to God. And he does that with us. So friends, when the Lord is chastening you, you're one of his children. You belong to the Lord. And when the Lord gathers the rod in his hand and he uses the rod, you know why? He's purifying out of us defilement, things that defile, things that are wrong, to make us holy. And then with the last thing we notice about this chastening work of the Lord is that in the end, this chastening actually brings much blessing. In verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, it's sorrowful and painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So a person who's being chastened of the Lord, a Christian that the Lord is dealing with, if he recognizes what God is doing and he says to the Lord, "I will not despise your chastening. I accept this. I understand what you're doing. I know what the rod is all about. I've heard your rebuke. I know the influence that you're working in my life for good. And though it's not comfortable, it's painful, I do not despise the chastening of the Lord. I esteem highly the chastening hand of God." And then to go further than that and to say to the Lord, "I am not weary of you chastening me. It's going to take more." Did any of you parents ever go to your parents when you were young and say, "Dad, you only gave me 5 smacks and I needed 10. Did any of you do that? Anybody that wise? I didn't either. But I did go back to my dad and say to my dad, "Dad, you smacked me a lot, but I needed a lot more than you gave me." Because as time went on, I saw how valuable the chastening Dad gave me really was. Do we go to the Lord and say to the Lord, "This has been a rough time going through this. You've had this corrective influence in my life and you've rebuked me and then you picked up the rod and you hit me and it hurt and I really felt it and I was suffering out of this, but I'm not going to despise it and I'm not going to be weary of it, so the next time I need it, give me some more." That's a wise Christian. Chastening is part of the Christian life. It's what we need from the Lord, and it has good purposes and good fruits. But I want to call your attention to something. And that is that in Proverbs, come back with me there. Come back with me to chapter 3. In Proverbs, where we have this exhortation first recorded in the scriptures, and the Lord says through Solomon to his son, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Did you know that throughout this book, there is not only this passage of scripture addressed to a son, but there are also other passages of scripture that speak to parents about chastening their children. I don't want to confuse you, so I've drawn this up on the board, and I hope it's not confusing. Let me see if I can illustrate this to you this way. Is that the Lord chastens, purifies, corrects. The Lord chastens me. The Lord chastens me. I have to tell you that the Lord often has to take me to what we used to call in the States, take me to the woodshed. That's where we used to think that was where you got the smack, was at the woodshed. Well, we don't have woodsheds here. But the Lord chastens me. What's interesting is that the Lord also instructs parents on chastening their children. Did you know that? In the book of Proverbs is where we find the most instruction regarding chastening children. And I'm going to read these to you. In fact, what I did was I printed these out, and I'm sure every one of the children here tonight will want a copy so they can give it to their parents. Okay, I retract that. Every parent needs to know what the Bible says about chastening children, and I'll tell you why it's so important. But let me read to you these verses. I'm going to put these here on the front row, and if you want one afterwards, parents, I'm not going to lay these on you, but I think it would be wise for you to read them. Here are the verses from Proverbs and Ephesians and Colossians. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says this. You may want to turn there. Proverbs 13 verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." Well, that's what Hebrews 12 says. The Lord loves us, so he chastens us. A person who does not chasten his children, who does not correct them, who does not rebuke them, who does not take the rod in the right measure at the right time, sufficiently but not more than enough, does not love his son. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him often, betimes, as often as he needs it." And then in Proverbs 19 and verse 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." I have parents tell me, "I can't bear to smack my children. They cry and it hurts me too badly." Yes, and it's going to hurt you worse when you have to go to court with them because you didn't correct them when they were little. This verse is saying to us ever so clearly here, while there is hope, chasten thy son, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 22, verses 6 and 15, "Train up a child." And this is chastening. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Foolishness. Now, that's not childishness. Childishness and foolishness, I think, are two different things. Children are children, and they're going to be childish. But foolishness has to do with choosing to do wrong, and it needs to be chastened. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I would encourage every parent to teach their child this as a memory verse. The next verse, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." This is not talking about around the head and shoulders. This is talking about that part, that padded part of the anatomy that was designed for a paddle. It's that Board of Education applied to the seat of learning, and it's designed for that. It has plenty of nerve endings to be able to feel pain. It's well padded. No structural damage or anatomical damage. No organic problems there. And it soon recovers. Oh, friends, I have to tell you that the Lord really designed us to be able to take chastening. I've told you before that we had a lady and her children staying with us when we were in Cairns. Our husband was an alcoholic. Things became so violent that they had the wife and children had to move out of the house, and they moved in with us. And most of the kids were quite agreeable, but one little boy, Darren, his nickname was Bully. It suited him to the ground. Little Bully, the shortest of the kids, one day said to his mother, "I'm not going to school today." And she said, "Yes, you are." And he said, "No, I'm not." And so she said to me, "Pastor, would you hold him for me while I whack him?" And I said, "Well, I won't whack him." She said, "No, if you'll just hold him. He's too strong for me. I can't hold him and whack him at the same time. This is a little kid." He's the one that rode his push bike down the center of the runway at Cairns Airport when they opened it up to international flights the same day. He's the one that climbed the Captain Cook statue on Sheridan Street. Okay, all right. Didn't need to know about that. So I grabbed Bully, and it was about all I could do to hold him. And she gave him a few, and she said, "Are you going to school?" He said, "Nope, never going back." So she gave him a few more. "You going to school?" "Nope, never going back." So she gave him a few, and pretty soon he broke. And when he broke, he just sobbed his heart out, hugged his mom, and went and got his school bag and got in the car, just like that. But his will had to come under submission to his mother's will. And I want to tell you, dear friends, you know that little fellow didn't show any scars? And he didn't die? He might have thought he was going to while he was getting the smacks, but he didn't die. That's what the verse says. That there in 23 verses 13 and 14, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." And then Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, and he shall give delight unto thy soul. And then two New Testament verses from Ephesians 6. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." This is a verse that really needs to be preached, because so many times we've seen it that if we talk about corporal punishment for disobedient children, we talk about that, there will be some dad who is worn out to exasperation, or a mother who is at the end of a rope with a rebellious child, and they will go overboard. And that's not what the Bible's teaching. We advocate the least possible use of the rod, only if necessary, only as much as necessary, never overdone. Please don't go away and say that Brother Buddy or Grace Baptist Church advocate abuse of children. We don't believe that at all. I want to say to you, dear friends, dads, exercise great caution here, not to provoke your children to wrath. I've had children say to me, sometimes grown-up children, "Dad gave me too much or too little or too hard or too soft. Dad was too inconsistent. Dad was too angry." And there's all those possibilities. And oh, parents, how we need to have our emotions under control. Have you ever been in a supermarket where a little boy pulls the bottom 10 out of a great stack of 10s and they all go on the floor? Have you ever been in a supermarket where that happens? And the dad or the mother gives the little kid a backhand? Oh, how foolish. Oh, how foolish. So much better if dad had said to him, "Come here, I'll help you stack these back up. Come on, we'll get these up and we'll talk about it when we get home." And by that time, he's had opportunity to cool off. The real problem many times when that happens to a parent is they're embarrassed that everybody saw what their kid did, or that they not trained their child better. So bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture is the same as the word chastening. It's the same word. And then in Colossians 3, 20 and 21, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Some of you, I trust, were raised in Christian homes where when you did something terrible like paint the cat white or something like that, when you did something terrible like that, that your parents were wise. And they explained to you that that cat was not designed to be white. And they took you quietly into the bedroom and they talked it over with you. But they may have even said, how many smacks do you think you should get for that? And they have talked to you about how important it is to be obedient. And that as a result of disobedience, they will have to give you some smacks. And then they gave you as few as it was possible in order to correct you from wrong behavior. And then they sat with you while you finished crying and cooled off and calmed down. And then they loved you and they held you and they prayed with you. And you went out of that room feeling like Dad loves me, Mom loves me, I did wrong, and they forgave me, and I won't ever paint a cat white again as long as I live, which I did one time. Terrible thing. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Well, I'm saying to you this evening, dear friends, that what happens is, if we are understanding what God is doing in our lives, that He is correcting me and He is rebuking me and He uses the rod on me, and we are not despising what He is doing and we're not weary of what He is doing, then we're preparing to teach our children the same thing. I'm going to have to correct you. I want to guide you to live right. I want to show you what are the peaceable fruits of righteousness. I want to lead you in a right way. And when I have to, I'll use the rod, but I want to be very thorough. And I want you to know when it's all over that I love you very much. And do you know what you're doing when you do that? You're actually teaching the child what God is going to do in their lives when they know the Lord. And that they're accountable and they will have to answer, and that God will be working the same way in their lives as God worked in your life to teach you how to work in your children's lives. Possibly our greatest failing in society today is that parents have not learned the chastening of the Lord and they haven't learned to kiss the rod. And as a result, they do not know how to chasten wisely, biblically, chasten their children, to prepare their children to live with the chastening hand of God. That may be our greatest failing in society at present. I'm going to tell you something. In being in the ministry for 50 some odd years, we have seen so many times where a person makes a profession of faith, and they have had no training by their parents on how to respond rightly to chastening. They were into drugs, immorality, rock and roll, into prison, and they never learned from their parents, as our children should be learning, they never learned how God was going to work in their lives. And so when they grow up, and they get married, and they have children, and the pastor says to them, the Bible teaches that chastening is a good thing and you need to know how to do it with your children. And they say, we don't do that. We have never rebuked our children. We have never smacked our children. We have never chastened our children, either because we don't like to hear them cry or because we think they're perfect. Oh my goodness. Or because we found it didn't work. I had a former member of this church tell me we used to do that, but it didn't work, so we quit. Oh my. Where will their children end up? If a parent will not chasten a child, they may well close off all understanding of the chastening hand of God and rob their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren of enormous amounts of blessing. I'm to the point at present that if someone were to say to me, Pastor, I would like to become a member of Grace Baptist Church, well, there are lots of things we would talk about. But one of the things that I would say to them, I want you to talk to me about how your parents chastened you, how they reproved you, how they corrected you, how they took the rod to you when you needed it when you were a child. Talk to me about that. And then I would like to say to them, do you understand the chastening of God as it's taught in Scripture, that God is going to work in your life and he's going to reprove you and he's going to correct you and he's going to confront you, and you're going to have to be able to cope with that. If you want to be a member of Grace Baptist Church, you need to understand the chastening hand of God. And if they say, no, we don't believe in that. We believe that's cruel. We believe that's unkind. We don't think that's right. And I could show them the Scriptures, go through them at length. And they say, no, we don't believe in that. Then I would say to them, then you're not going to be able to chasten your children and raise them right. I think you need to go find another church to join. Because all you do is bring in the unruly behavior and attitudes of children that cannot be rebuked, that will not receive a reproof, because their mother and father would not receive a reproof, possibly because their mother and father never knew it. Oh, it's so vital. Christian, can I say to you that this is one of the most important things a Christian will ever learn, as to how to be under authority to God and say to the Lord, Lord, it hurts when you hit me, but I will not despise it and I will not be weary of it. I welcome it. I will learn to kiss the rod, because my children need me to teach them this, and their children need to be taught this. And they need to learn it from God. They need to be able to welcome this and understand it from the Lord. Now, we're going to close. But I'm going to ask you, do you understand this? Is this confusing to anyone? I love you people here. You're the best group of people to preach to in the whole wide world. Is anybody confused by this? You need to hold your hand up and say, Preacher, I didn't get that. Be honest. Chastening is so important. Well, we pray, Heavenly Father, this evening as we're dismissed, that you will help us to see the hand of God in our lives. There are times, Lord, when you have to resist the pride that is in Buddy Smith. Each one of us, any of us. And so we are asking, O Lord, that we can learn that the love of God includes the chastening from the Lord in order to make us holy and bring blessing into our lives. And that we are accountable as parents or future parents to do the very same thing for our children. We need to teach them to recognize the chastening of the Lord when it comes and welcome it, because it's a blessing. Thank you for these things. Help us have wisdom now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.